where it finally arrived at the first piece of advice. First, Maimer, after the introduction. Okay, so now after that unbelievable build-up, there should be something, really, right?
Is there a format to these? Like, it normally is, like, what do you mean, to build up?
No, I mean, in other words, up until now, it's been introductory because, you know, they've said, you know, Knesset Gedolah, the Moshe gave it to, you know, the Masorah.
Right.
But now, actually, the Mishnah's going to actually make a statement of, you know, now they're going to actually get into the meat of it. The advice, the ethical advice that we've been waiting for. Okay?
Is there a reason for that introduction?
Is there a reason for that introduction? I guess, yes. That's a good question. Right. Well, generally, yeah, what were you thinking of? Generally, I, you know, we say that, you know, that a person, when he reads a book or spends time studying an area, it makes sense to investigate who the author is. Because if the person is, obviously if the author is a fool, it would not be, you know, time wisely spent to spend your time to figure out what the man is saying. So, you know, so I mean, in that, from that respect, certainly, it's always good to have an introduction to a book to, you know, to verify who the speaker is, who's the person giving over the information, so that we know that he's a chacham, and that it will be worth our while to spend time to really understand what the man is saying and look closely into it, because we can expect that there'll be some useful information here. So I think just on a basic level, that certainly would be a very good reason for the introduction. You know? So here you have the greatest introduction. I mean, these are the Bali and Masorah.
From Moshe
down, you know. But it is an interesting thing. I mean, it shows you, which is something we touched on, that because a person might think that these are Bali Masorah in the area of Halacha. So Halacha is an area of study. But Pirkei Avos is not really Halacha. Pirkei Avos is ethics, philosophy, perfection of a person's nature. So that's really, you would say, that's a separate subject. So the fact that they're experts in one area doesn't necessarily qualify them for a different area. Like, for instance, if you look in the area of mathematics, you could read about the mathematicians that were unbelievable in the area of mathematics, but when it came to their personal lives, they were lived crazy. So obviously a person could have tremendous knowledge in one area, and in another area be totally ignoramus, be more foolish than a regular guy. Do things that a regular guy would say, well, what is the guy doing? Is he nuts? Right? So really, in general, that doesn't qualify a person, you know? So the question is, I guess, what's the difference over here? In other words, why do we say over here that if they're experts in halacha, that qualifies them to be experts in the area of perfection, human perfection? Moshe chose to be the Bali Masorah, those people that were perfected in intellectually and in terms of mitos, right?
That was like the prereq for choosing them.
That's the prerequisite for choosing them. That they're perfected intellectually and perfected in terms of mitos. Okay? So the reason why a mathematician would be... In other words, the reason why a mathematician could live like a fool, you see, is because... The person could be perfected in one area, be perfected in the area of thinking, of thought, abstract thought, but in another area, in the area of the emotions, the person may be very deficient. You see? But that won't prevent him from being a great genius in math. The person can be a great genius in math, but yet have his emotions are not perfected. Okay? So that when he applies his mind to the area of how he should live, he could be totally, he could come up with totally crazy ideas because he has crazy emotions. You see? So therefore, the fact that a person is just perfected in one area of thought doesn't qualify him for Pirkeiolos, for the area of how a person should live. Okay? But that's why the introduction was that it's the Balei Masorah, that Moshe chose people that are not only perfected in the area of thought, of the intelligence, how to use the mind, that's one qualification, but the second qualification was that they're perfected in terms of their emotions. You see? And if a person has both those qualities, then he'll be qualified to be an authority when it comes to this area also. The area of human conduct, of ethics. Okay? Yeah.
So, will this be...
Okay, so that's good. So that's the introduction. Alright?
Could it be, I guess, yep. As...
Okay, so he says like this. Hey, Mama, they said Shloshadvar. Three things. Okay? Havu Masunim Bedin. Okay, three things already. It sounds complicated. Yeah. Okay. So Havu Masunim Bedin, Vahamidu Talmidim Harbe, Vasu Sigla Torah. Okay? So you have three statements. Okay. So let's take each statement. So the first one is Havu Masunim Bedin. Okay? Which means that a person should be slow to judgment. Okay, he should take his time. Should not rush to judgment. Yeah.
Sorry, who's him?
Good question.
Okay.
I don't know. Let me see. Does anybody say?
Does it mean non-shaken as a gadol?
It could be. I mean, it's the last, it's referring to the last, what do you call it, recipient of the Masorah. Yeah, makes sense. I mean, the plain, I guess, plain shot is them. Anshei Knesset Gadol. Okay?
I think the only other option would be everybody.
Everybody, yeah.
Right.
That's, right. Just that doesn't sound too, right, exactly. Doesn't sound too plausible.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go with that. Okay? So, the
Wait,
first
so
thing...
They said it about themselves, that they should be...
Okay.
Like, this was self-advice?
No, in other words, they're saying to a diet.
Seems a little rash, that's the first thing they said.
What's that?
Seems rash, that's the first thing they said.
Right. Was that said with yeah. due consideration, or was that, did you jump to that conclusion? Right, but they're saying to a dying.
Yeah.
Okay. To the dying, that a person should be slow to judgment. Okay. So, I mean, just on the surface, right, I mean, what does slow to judgment mean? I mean, how slow do you have to be? You take a watch and... you know, you talk about it, you think about it, and then, you know, like at what point do you say, oh, one second, let's slow down. What does slow judgment mean? Okay? Okay, that's one question. Okay? But let's just take a look at Rashi. Okay? Rashi says like this. What's the idea of Havu Masunim Bedin? Rashi says, Lashon Mamtinin. Means slowly, you should be slow to din. Okay. Shelo yiyu gomrim hadin b'mehera. Okay. You shouldn't do it quickly. So far, you know, not clearing up too much. Okay. You should not finish the din quickly. Ela chokrim bo ba'omek. You should look deeply into it. Okay. So what do you say? Does that clarify anything?
General ideas.
Yeah. What does he add? You shouldn't do it quickly, but you should look deeply into it. What is he telling you there?
When you look at it too quickly, you won't be able to see it on the surface.
Yeah. It's not a time thing. In other words, it doesn't mean You know, set your watch. Give a, you know, if it's, well, if it's a Marcos, give them 2 hours. Think about it for 2 hours. But Misa, 5 hours. It's not a time thing. It's a qualitative thing. Mejera quickly means a superficial look. Okay? It means the depth of what you're looking into. Okay? So it means you should look deeply into it. Okay? That's what he's saying. He's saying it's not a time thing. Okay? It's the... You have to look deeply into it. Okay? Okay? The only thing is... So I would say, what do you mean look deeply into it? In other words, when you study a thing, you have to understand it. Now, if when you look superficial... I mean, what does superficial mean? It means you don't really understand the thing. Right? So what does it mean, look deeply into something? I mean, once I understand the area, that's it. I've looked deeply. I don't know whether I've looked deeply into it or not, but I have a full understanding of what's going on. Okay? So, I mean, I'm not sure exactly what this means. In other words, does it mean to say, don't make a judgment when you don't fully understand something? Well, obviously. If you don't fully understand the area, you can't give an answer. Okay? But if I fully understand the area, so then why can't I give an answer? Why do I have to look deeper? What does it mean to look deeper? Okay? So I don't know. Then, that what else is required? In other words, when I give a judgment, I have to have a full knowledge of what I'm deciding, right? So why is that? So what's the special requirement? Anytime I study a thing, I have to study it till I understand the area. Okay, so that's not, there's no special thing of looking deeply into something. Either I understand or I don't. There's no two ways about it. Okay, so it would seem at this point it should be like any other area. I'm studying an area. Keep studying until you have full understanding. And if you don't have full understanding, obviously, you can't be going to Sedan.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is specifically for Dayana? This isn't like a Dayana. General kind of idea?
Yeah. For Dayana. Okay.
Well, would you maybe say, I was thinking, whenever you make a judgment, which would be anyone making a judgment, I mean, I would think. That's just how I... Like, just in terms of who this is talking to.
Oh, you see there, you see.
I'm just wondering,
yeah.
Like, why would you say it's only talking about to Dayanam?
Dayanam?
Yeah.
Becomes the rest of the Rashi.
Is what?
Rashi. Rashi goes on.
Oh, okay.
Okay? Let's just finish Rashi. Okay? He says like this. He says, Lefi shehadin yoshev b'maromo shel olam. Din lies in the height of the world. Okay, why shahari la'aseras hadibros smachu hakasuf? Okay, the Torah placed the dinim of choshen mishpat, okay, mishpatim, right next to aseras hadibros. Okay, and that's the parsha of Eileh Mishpatim. Rashi says v'lamedcha shehem gufei Torah, to teach you that the dinim of choshen mishpat, the monetary halachos, okay, not any din, not every din, but monetary halacha is the essence of Torah. That's the essence. That's why the Torah placed monetary laws, choshen mishpat, right next to Aseres HaDibros. Okay. So the question is, I mean, what does this mean? The monetary din is the essence of the Torah. I mean, what about Hilchos Shabbos? Hilchos Yisavet, or Treif, Shchita? Yeah. Gimel. Actually, two psukim. Okay, Chaf Gimel Daled and He. Okay, so the pasuk says like this, Kisifka Shor O Yivcha. Okay. If you encounter the ox of your enemy, o chamoro, or his donkey, toeh, lost, hashiv tishivenu lo. So you must return to him. Moshava Zaveda. Okay. But the Pasuk says only Oyev, your enemy. Okay. Friend. Right? Okay. Next Pasuk. Lo Sirechamor. So Lo Sire, what's that?
Kisira.
Oh, sorry. Kisira. Kisira. Right, you're saying, of course you're your friend.
Of course,
right. Right. Okay. Kisira chamor sonacha. If you see the donkey of your enemy, of a person you hate, or whatever, right? A person that's your enemy. Rovets tachas masao. The animal is broken down under the load, under its load. The chadalta me'azav lo. You'll refrain from helping him. Azov ta'azovimo. You must help him. Okay, you must help your enemy with the donkey that's broken down under the load. You have to help him lift the load off. Okay, take the load off. All right. So both psukim is sonacha. Okay, your enemy. Okay. So interesting thing, but the Torah repeats itself in Kiseitze. Repeats these two mitzvahs in Kiseitze, but in one slight variation. Okay, Torah says when it comes to Hashavas Aveda, Torah says Lo sira es shur achicha, o es seyo nidochem. Okay, you shouldn't see the shur, the ox of your brother. No more enemies. That's it. Leave that enemy. Okay, you shouldn't see the ox of your brother. Hashav teshivim lachicha. Have to return it. Okay. Then it goes on. Lo sire es chamor achicha. You should not see the donkey of your brother. No from baderech. Hakem takim imo. You have to help him lift the animal up. Okay. So when the Torah repeats itself in kiseitze, it leaves out sonecha. Okay. And it just deals with a straight halacha. It's another person's animal is lost, you have to return it. Okay? Another person's animal is struggling under a load, you have to help him. Friend or enemy, I mean, what does this have to do with Hilchos Choshen Mishpat? The fact that he's an enemy, he's a friend, has nothing to do with it. Okay? But in Mishpatim, the Torah classified it as Sonecha, your enemy. Okay? So where do you see this halacha? Where do you have this halacha? So this actually comes into play. Okay, and the Rambam says like this. The Rambam is in Hilchos Rotzeach Ushmiras Nefesh Perek Yud Gimel. Halacha Yud Gimel. Okay. Why? Yeah.
Secondly, you said, what does that do with Choshen Mishpat? Why would you think that's something to do with Choshen Mishpat?
Well, it's a halacha of Dina Mamonis. That how you treat your friend's property. You find a person's property, right, you have to return it to him. You know, I just ignore it. Okay, it's because it's his property. You have a responsibility to help him out with his property. Right? Does it matter whether he's your friend or enemy? Well, what's it got to do with it? You have to find out whether the guy's my enemy first. It's a question of justice. That's how you have to act vis-a-vis other people's. It's property rights. He has certain property rights. You have to respect those rights. Nothing to do with you, your personal relationship with him. Right? That's my question. Yet the Torah puts in there, he's your enemy. Okay? Okay. So what's the halacha of the enemy? There isn't, it's not just divrei mussar. You might say, it says the enemy because it wants to teach you a thing that, you know, even if he's your enemy, obviously you have to help him. Okay? But it's more than that. Okay? There's an actual halacha here. Because the Rambam says like this. In other words, if it was just I could understand the Torah says enemy because it wants to teach you a certain midah, okay, that you have to overcome your yetzahara. You don't want to help the guy. You're happy that the guy's thing is lost. You're smiling. It's very good for you. This guy, you hate the guy, okay? But the halacha is that you have to be kovish as a yitzro. You have to go against that emotion that's stopping you and that's preventing you from carrying out justice. You have to control the emotion. You have to do justice. So it's telling you a philosophic, an idea of personal perfection. Don't allow your emotions to get in the way. Okay? That I can understand. Okay? But it's actually halacha. It's more than just an ethical principle. Okay? Because the Rambam says in Perek Yud Gimel, Halacha Yud Gimel, he says, Hapogeya Bishnayim. If you find two animals, Echad Rovates Tachas Masao, one animal is lying under the masa. Okay? They had a heavy burden on him. He broke down, and he's lying there with the burden on top of him. Okay? Echad, the Echad Parak Me'elov. And the other animal, the load fell off. Okay? The load fell off, so the owner needs somebody to help him put the load back on. Okay? So in one case, the owner needs you to help him take the load off the animal so that you can pick the animal up. And in the other case, the load has fallen off, the owner needs you to help him pack up the animal again. Okay? Okay. So what's the halacha? Which one do you do first? Which owner do you help first? Okay. So the halacha is like this: you have to first unload the animal that has broken down under the load. Why? Because it's tsar bali chayim. Now, so you have two equal things, two equal halachas that you have to help each owner. But this animal is tsar bali chayim, so I have to do that one first. Okay. Okay. And that's the halacha. Okay. But the Rambam says, "Bamed dvarim amurim." When do we say this halacha? He says, "Kishahayu shnehem sonim o ohavim." Only where both owners either are your enemies or your friends. They're equal. Each owner is equal. Okay. So then I say you have to help the animal that's suffering. Okay. But the Rambam says like this: Aval imhaya echad sone ve'echad ohev. Let's say one owner is your friend and one is your enemy. So then, what's the halacha? So, you guessed it. Halacha is mitzvah liton imha sone tchila kidei lachuf es yitzur hara. Okay. So the halacha is that you have to help the sone first, even if he's the one that the animal's not suffering, right? One, the animal's suffering. The other one is your sone, is your enemy. So the halacha is you load the animal with him first. You help him first. You do the reverse of what the normal halacha is. Normal halacha is you always help the animal that's suffering. If one is a sone and one is an ohev, you do the reverse. You always help the sone first. Okay, it doesn't matter whether the tsar bali chayim or not. Okay, so you see, it's not just an ethical principle, but it's actually a halacha. Okay, that the sone, the one that's your enemy, comes first. He's the one that you must help before the ohev. Yeah.
Can you just translate that? Could they what? What was it? Could they?
He says, "Imhaya echad sone ve'echad ohev." If one is an enemy, one's a friend. Mitzvah liton imasone. The mitzvah is to lift the burden up with the sone tchila first. Why? Kidei lachof es yitzra hara. Lachof es yitzra, to force yourself. Okay, to control your yitzra. If a yitzra hara, if this guy's your enemy, you don't want to help him. You have to help him first. Okay? So that's the halacha. And that's what we learn out from Mishpatim. That's why the Torah isolated the enemy. Because he comes first. Okay, so now I just want to ask you one simple question. I mean, is there greater justice? If I have two people that I have to help, okay, is it greater justice to help an enemy over a friend? Or is it equal justice? If I help the enemy first, and then I help the friend. Or I do the reverse. In terms of justice, is there a difference? I mean, in terms of justice, you can't differentiate between an enemy and a friend. On the contrary, Torah says, if a person's a dying, he can't look at who the people are. That's it. He just has to judge pure justice. So in terms of pure justice, there is no way that it could be more just to help an enemy over a friend. It doesn't matter. It's just a question of helping the person. Your relationship with him is irrelevant.
But we see the circumstance of the burdened animal is greater justice.
That's right.
Or something greater in some way. Than
exactly. On the contrary, there's a disadvantage here. There's an evil here because you're letting the animal suffer. But no, here the Torah tells you must help the enemy first. Right? So you see that it is not a halacha of justice. It's a separate halacha that a person must control his emotions. Separate halacha, you have to control your emotions. Okay, so your emotion is not you don't want to help the enemy. Over here, you must control your emotions. Okay, so over here, the Torah took that idea that a person has to control their emotions and actually made it part of the halacha. They made it into a part of the halacha. It's not just a philosophic principle of perfection. They actually incorporated it into a halacha. Now, I'd like to just understand one thing. I mean, this is an idea all over. A person has to control his emotions. I mean, a person has to keep Shabbos. He has to control his emotions. He doesn't want to keep Shabbos. A person has to eat certain foods. He doesn't want to eat those foods. He wants to eat treif. Guy has to control his emotions. Why over here did the Torah decide, oh, no, over here we have to make this part of halacha to control your emotions? It's not enough just to have halacha, but we must actually impose into a system of justice something that has nothing to do with justice. Not greater justice if I help the enemy or the friend. Something that has nothing to do with justice, I must impose this idea of controlling your emotions over here when it comes to Choshen Mishpat. I'd like to understand why is it that the Torah saw that this is the area where we must put this halacha in here, in contrast to any other area.
Sorry.
I'd like to know that why did, in general, let's say we didn't have this halacha, okay? So what would the din be? The din would be, if you have an enemy, that you can't treat him any differently than a friend, you have to treat him equally. Okay, so if he's suffering or his property, same thing, you have to be just as worried about his property as your friend. That's justice, okay? But the Torah said over here, no, you have to do more than justice. You have to do more than justice. You have to practice, you have to implement controlling your emotions over here. A special idea of exerting control of your emotions. Okay? Why all of a sudden did the Torah put that in here? That idea of controlling emotions is everywhere. A person always has to control his emotions. Has to try to control himself and act in a proper way. In every area of halacha. Okay, but you don't see in every area that the Torah goes, oh, one second, this is the halacha by kosher and treif, but we have to institute a special thing to force a guy to control his emotions, not just that he's going to keep the halacha, but he has to do a special thing which has nothing to do with kosher and treif, but a special kind of action to show he's controlling his emotions. You don't find that. You don't find that. That's a private thing. If a person wants to work out his own emotions, he may do special things. Like, let's say, for instance, you didn't have this halacha of helping the enemy first. So a person would come along and say, would think to himself, you know, I have an emotion that I don't really want to help that guy. Let me help that guy first. The halacha doesn't tell me which one to help first. Let me help that one first just to be kovish my yetzer. That's a private way that a person works with himself to improve himself. That's in Kol HaTorah Kulo. Right? A person should try to improve himself and carry out voluntary things to help him perfect his emotions. That's a general thing. Okay? Over here, right, so had the Torah just left it that you have to help each guy, then perhaps a guy would come along and he'd want to go above and beyond with Nimishur Asadin, and he would say, look, I'm going to help my enemy first just to really control myself. You see, that would make sense. But over here, all of a sudden, the Torah found it necessary to incorporate in halacha that practice, which usually the Torah doesn't do. That's left up to the individual. Okay, why over here? Why is this the spot that the Torah decided to, so to speak, become so extra religiosity, if you want to say, you know, where you really have to be a very good person in this particular spot? Having nothing to do with justice? Why over here did the Torah implement the idea of a person improving his his nature and controlling his emotions. Why in this one area? So to speak, the Torah legislated perfection. Told you, you have to implement perfection. Not good enough to keep the halacha. But we're going to make part of the halacha that you have to show that you're perfecting yourself. Why is this there? You understand my question?
Yeah.
Why did the Torah put Mishpatim next to Aseres HaDibros? Why is Mishpatim the essence of the Torah, really? Because what it's saying is that in other words, like this, Mishpatim is really two things. When you have Mishpatim, is justice. Justice is how people have to work together in a society. Okay? It's a social thing. That is how a person has to conduct himself. He has to respect the other. You can't have a society without rules of justice. It's part of a society. People cannot coexist without justice. So justice is a system of coexistence. That's one idea of justice. But what it's saying is there's a second idea of justice. Justice is really not only how you coexist with other people, but it is a method of perfecting yourself. In other words, there are two ideas in justice. If I live in a society, I must have justice. If I don't have justice, that's it. People kill each other. Can't have a society. It's impossible. Live on a desert island. If you don't want to follow justice, live by yourself. Be fine. You want to live in a place where there's at least one other person. You have to have rules of justice immediately. Whose thing is that? You can't exist. Okay, so it's impossible to coexist with another person without laws of justice. Now, if that was the only idea of justice, then you'd have dvarim. Dvarim, kiseitse. It says when a person loses something, this is how you have to respond. I don't care if it's your friend or enemy. That's a private thing. But rules of justice are: this is the way you have to act with regard to another person that's living on the planet. That's it. And I don't care how you feel about it. That's justice. That's the idea of, that's one idea of justice. And if that were the only idea, it wouldn't be next to Aseres HaDibros. Because it's another thing. On the contrary, it's not the most important thing. That's practically how you have to exist together. But like you say, Avodah Zarah, it's much more important. Okay? You would not have Mishpatim next to Aseres HaDibros. But why do you have Mishpatim next to Aseres HaDibros? Because there's another idea of justice. And that is, this is the area where a person perfects himself. This is the area. The area of how I relate to another person is the place where a person's every defect that a person has, it expresses itself in that area. How I treat another person, that every defect I have has to do with how I treat another person. Practically every single defect. Look at anything that a person has. Ego. What's ego? I'm greater than that guy. Taiva. I want to have that guy's dive. I'm jealous of him. Every defect that a person has is expressed primarily, to the greatest degree, how I relate to other people. Okay? So therefore, justice is an area, and the greatest expression of how I relate to other people is money. That is the greatest expression. In other words, when you treat a person badly, it's the greatest expression is in money. It's like, I remember my mother used to say to me, it doesn't cost you anything to smile or to be, let's say, you know, a young kid, you know, you're angry or, you know, don't treat people nice. Don't, you know, you don't say hi to whoever the guest that comes in. My mother used to say to me, it doesn't cost you anything to be nice to the person.
Yeah.
Right? I'm sure she
everyone's
wasn't the only
mom,
right? What does that mean? But if it costed you something, that I could understand. then there's an excuse for not being nice. It cost you something. You see, the thing is that you can be nice to a person, you see, if it doesn't cost you anything, because money is where the guy, all of a sudden, that's where the person's possessiveness and emotions take hold. This is mine. That is the greatest expression of the person's exaggerated importance of himself. This is is mine. You took that from me. No, this is mine. See, that's really where a person expresses his sense of importance, of self-importance, is his possessions, you see, and how he treats the other person's possessions. So what it's saying is that mishpatim plays a double role. Number one, you need justice because people can't coexist. But number two, justice is a thing that perfects a person internally. Because when he keeps justice, he is correcting his opinion of himself. You see? He's correcting his opinion. His enlarged opinion of himself gets readjusted, gets the correct focus. You see, he sees that, okay, I might personally think I'm great, but I have to follow this thing. This guy right now, I have somewhere very important I have to be. This guy right now needs me to pick up the package. I have to help him. You see? Or this guy right now, his property is sustaining a loss. I must stop what I'm doing and go protect that guy's property. That action involves tremendous perfection for the person. You see? Because it straightens out his sense of who he is. And that's really where most of the imperfections of a person lie, is in a false idea that he has of himself and his own importance. If you take away that one idea of how important I am, you see, you would see, you would notice all of a sudden the person is living a totally different kind of life. And all of the things that he's doing that are harmful, you'd see all of a sudden, this guy is all of a sudden a totally different person. See, most of the things that are defecting the guy stem from that one idea, the love of self. See? And the exaggerated idea of the self. And that what the Torah is saying is that Mishpatim directly goes against that idea. You see, if you don't have Mishpatim, so what it's saying is like this. It doesn't necessarily mean that Mishpatim is the essence in the sense that it's the ultimate idea of the Torah. You see, what's the ultimate idea of the Torah? The idea of God and the denial of Avodah Zarah. But in terms of having a Torah and getting anywhere close to those ideas, Mishpatim is the only route. In terms of the route to perfection, the road to perfection, this is the essence. If you want a road to perfection, you need this. Without this, forget it. You can have all the philosophy in the world, all the ideas, great metaphysical ideas, and the rejection of Avodah Zarah, not going to mean anything. You're not going to get anywhere. Because as long as a person has the wrong idea of himself, that's it. So in terms of a person progressing, getting on the road to perfection, this is the essence to getting on the road. Without this, you're not going anywhere. Okay? And the Torah is basically a means, a road to get a person to perfection, to improve the person. The essence of the road is through Mishpatim. Okay? So that's why you have two parshas in Mishpatim. You have the parsha by Aseret Dibros. That's in terms of justice, in terms of a mechanism of perfection. But Kiseitse is justice in terms of din, how to run a society, how to have people not destroying each other. Okay? Two different systems. That's why they incorporated, that's why the Torah incorporated, had to incorporate your enemy here, because to show you that Mishpatim, if you want to perfect yourself, okay, you can perfect yourself in a lot of areas, control your emotions all over, be my guest, knock yourself out, right? But if you're not going to control yourself in this area, it's the other area is not going to help you. God can control himself and daven all day long, keep Shabbos, do all these things, keep all the mitzvos that, you know, appeal to him, and make him feel, and give him a very good religious feeling. You see, very nice. It's Kovish Yitzro. You see, But if he doesn't do, if he's not Kavishas Yisrael in this one area, none of that is going to help him. You know, if the guy who's very religious, but not too careful with his friend's money, not too worried about if he's, you know, how kosher he is in business, that means that he's not really, the other stuff is really not going to do the job. This is the area. If he wants to be Kavish and Zitro, this is the one area that you need it. You see, so that's why it actually made it part of the halacha. It was not just an optional thing like in every other area. It's actually part of the halacha. You want to do justice, but you have to, in your justice, you have to do it in a way that it's going to perfect yourself. Yeah, you got to help your enemy first. Yeah.
So can you repeat what our progression was? Meaning, we had the pasuk says you help your friend first in this situation. You help your enemy first, even when the justice is geared. Simply justice would say you help your friend.
Right.
So
why over here did the Torah demand that you all of a sudden be control yourself? Make it actually part of the halacha, right? Change the halacha to include something that has to do with your own personal perfection, which is not justice.
Right?
So our answer was, actually, justice is two things. It's justice in terms of social, in terms of a society, but justice is also an idea of perfection. So that's why it's no question. Our question was, why did Torah include personal perfection when we're talking about Dine Mominus? The answer is, Dine Mominus is two things. It's Dine Mominus, but it's also personal perfection. That is the essence of Dine Mominus, is not only Dine Mominus, but perfection, personal perfection.
Can you repeat how we were saying Dine Mominus is personal perfection?
Because that's the area. When a person keeps religion, religious things appeal to him, appeal to his ego. Appeal to his ego. I'm a great holy guy. I'm very holy. I keep, God loves me. Look what I do. I daven, I shuckle. I'm a holy guy. That really feeds into his ego. You see? And the ego is the area where the greatest evil of man lies, in his ego. Look at the greatest, the most evil people. Ego. His opinion of himself. That's where the person has to perfect himself. That's the main area of perfection. You see? So therefore, the money, giving up my money or worrying about the other guy's money, the relations between people, that's where the ego lies. That's how you break the ego. If you want to break the ego, keep these halachos. You know what I mean? That's the area of perfection. Where I recognize that guy's money is just as important as mine. I can't say, well, it's his money, so what do I care? You can't do that. You have to say one thing, it's his money, he has rights, I have to recognize those rights, and I can't be slack at all, one iota. That's a perfecting thing. Because that goes against the ego. There's no religious, that doesn't appeal to any religious emotion. Guy's going to walk away, I'm a holy guy, I kept business. The guy doesn't feel that way.
You're saying normally, like in the other areas of justice, keeping that feeds into a person's ego. Other areas of halacha.
Like Shabbos. Got to keep Shabbos.
Right.
Feels like holy.
Makes him
I'm a holy guy.
Religious man.
I'm a religious man.
So
people look at me.
So you're saying...
Know me. I have leather brown...
Yes!
Right? And he feeds into the thing. Come into my library. Look at all my sparring. I learn all day. I'm unbelievable.
So but now, in areas of money...
Yes.
A person doesn't get any satisfaction by keeping that...
Why? Because you're giving the money to somebody else. That's not fun. I get satisfaction in the area of money if the money's coming this way. Yes, as long as the money's coming this way, feel great. Or it goes the other way, that's not too fun. So there's no satisfaction. On the contrary, what you're saying is, that guy's just as important as me. Hey, what happened here?
So, hold on, let me think about this. So we're saying, so perhaps there is some...
I quoted this a few times. The Rambam says that what's Avas Yisroel? Loving a Jew. What's the mitzvah of Avas Yisroel? So the Rambam says, he gives an interesting thing. He says that you have to, Avas Yisroel means that you're just as concerned with his kavod as your kavod. You want, if he's entitled to kavod, you are just as concerned he should get that kavod. You see? And also money. You're just as concerned with his money as your money. In other words, if that guy's going to lose money and you can help him, you are going to be just as excited to help that guy as if it was your money. Okay? Rambam says, that's Avas Yisroel. So I ask one thing. I understand. Are these the greatest values in the world? I should love this guy. How do I express my love? By being worried about his kavod and his money. I mean, you'd say that what's the ultimate value? Chachma. Why doesn't the Rambam say, I should be concerned that this guy should get the best Rebbe and that he should have the greatest opportunity to learn just like I'm concerned with my own learning? Rambam doesn't mention anything about true values or that this guy should keep halacha just like I keep halacha. Why doesn't Rambam just say, kavod and money? That's the area where I could show my av. You see? But the answer is very simple. Because that's the area where a person is competitive with another person. That's where the person wants to isolate himself. That I have a special standing here. You see? He's not as good as me. Where is that expressed? In kavod and money. He's going to lose money. Okay, so that makes me a little higher up. See, that's the area. So Avas Yisroel means that you should not relate to that person in that way. You see? You shouldn't relate to the person as a competitor. That you're going to beat the guy out. Where is that expressed in money? That's the area. That's the area of a person asserting his own greatness. Yeah.
Is it because by not respecting someone's money, it's really a case of not respecting his rights and his rights to something, and that's why you're lessening him? Or is it because somehow we inherently tie money to a person's value?
Yeah, that's exactly right. You tie money to the value. So you're saying, this is mine. You say, this is mine. It's an objective thing because you say, look, why am I better than this guy? I don't know. Could you attach anything in reality to it? And you have an idea that you are the most important thing in the world, right? Now, it's very nice. You can have a lot of ideas. But a guy will come up to you and say, well, sir, why do you think you're better than him? Oh, you're going to go, I just am. Well, could you give us any kind of evidence or any kind of basis for this opinion, or is this just your crazy opinion? Oh, look what I have. In other words, you have to be able to, in your mind, justify an opinion. You have to have some kind of verification, justification for things you believe. You see? So, monetary, financial, and material goods is a concrete thing. Oh, look, come on, look what I have. You know, I live in a mansion.
So the first one I'm saying would really just be a person's expression that he's greater. But the fact, mainly because he's not respecting the other guy's rights, would just be like my own expression of feeding into this thing. But you're saying a person wants to look for proof. He needs to look for something to show that he's greater. So by having more money, that shows that that's something he can look to, that he has more money.
Money, that's right. And the fact, you see, but it's that. It's always expressed in terms of the of the material goods. But the fact that the other guy has rights bothers you. Whereas the fact that this guy has rights, that thing that he's got is off limits to me. That's a limitation on my own sense of importance.
Right.
You see that there's a rule here, there's rules here. That's a limitation. Yes, I can get the material, but only in this way and only through this method. And if I cross the line, can't do that. Mm-hmm. It's a limitation on a person's sense of importance. Where does a person's sense of importance come from? These type of things. His material acquisitions. That's why a person spends his life in the material acquisitions. It's a sense of importance. Limiting that sense of importance, that's the area of perfection. And how do you limit a person's sense of importance in that area? Because that's a false sense of importance. You don't want to limit the guy in a real thing. You don't want to break the guy down in terms of real values. Tell the guy you're just not important. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. But this is an area where it's a false thing. It's not. It doesn't make you more important. You see? So if you're going to have that, use that as a value, we have to limit it. One second. That's why it bothers the guy. That's why it's very hard for people to keep these halachos. Because it's a limitation on their importance.
By acknowledging the other guy has rights.
That's right.
That limits you.
That limits you.
It says you're limited.
You're limited. That guy's got that thing. Yeah, he may not... He may be, in your eyes, nothing. Right? But you can't take that thing he's got. See, that's why, like, even the story, I don't know the exact story, but in the story in Tanakh, where the guy wanted something that the other guy had, the king, wanted something, a piece of land or something that the other guy had. And he said, I'll offer you, pay millions of dollars, pay the guy five times what the land is worth. Guy would not sell. Guy wouldn't sell it. It was land or I don't know exactly what it was. But it was what?
It was a chuzah, I think.
Yeah. He would not sell it. I'm offered huge amounts. Would not sell it. So they worked out a thing and they ended up getting the guy killed and then they took the land. So what's the thing? Because a guy cannot tolerate the idea that I can't have that thing. See, so okay, I'll buy it. I'll get it legally. Okay, fine. If you could, but if you can't, you can't have it. So a guy does not want to come to that realization. You mean I'm the king? I have all the power. I have all the wealth, and I can't have that. With this guy has nothing, and he has a control over me that he is stopping me. This guy is stopping me from doing something, and he's a nothing. Yes. See, that guy can't tolerate. The guy cannot tolerate that idea. You see, but that's the area of perfection. Because that guy has to know that he is limited. See, the reason why it sounds a little unusual is because we don't think in our minds in these terms. Because a lot of these ideas we're operating with, but we're not really honest enough to really necessarily come out and really give... vocalize. You know, I think I'm the most important thing in the world. I mean, the person can't say that because he's going to feel like he's just insane. But it doesn't mean that deep down he doesn't really have that kind of a feeling somewhere. You see, so that's what the Torah is showing you. That this is the area that if a person really wants to perfect himself and be kovish as Yitzra, this is the area to do it. And the other areas are easier to keep. Yeah, a guy sits in shul all day, Yom Kippur, looks hard, killing himself, doesn't stop davening, shuckling, standing for hours. Yeah, looks very hard. But he gets a certain kind of satisfaction that he doesn't get from another area, from the area of mominess, where he can't have that thing. That's a different kind of pain that he has to endure. And that's the area. If the Torah says a person wants to perfect himself, the real perfection, that's the area to do it. If the guy can endure that and overcome that emotion of being of the limitation of the self, if he can overcome that emotion and accept it, have an acceptance of another person's rights, absolute rights that he cannot pass over, if he can accept that, then he can have perfection. You see, but he has to have that. That's why, if you look at Mishpatim, it starts off with how you treat a slave. A slave, the guy's an Eved. Now, he may be an Eved, but you have to treat him in a certain way, and if you violate his rights, you're over an Avera. He's a slave, he's your Eved. Doesn't matter. You see, it's taking in a situation where the emotions are convinced of your superiority, and showing you, it's only you have a certain advantage in a certain framework that monetarily he has to work for you. But it doesn't mean you have anything extra over this guy. His rights are absolute. You cannot cross his rights. You see, so in an absolute sense, he has just as much, he is as in control of you as you are of him. It's just a different framework. Yeah, he has to work for you. But you must pay him in a certain manner, and you must treat him in a certain manner. And you cannot treat him in an inferior manner. So he has just as many rights as you, just in a different framework. But that's the thing. So that's the area of perfection. That's why it's Bonnie. It says Nibros.